Before we get started, I'll introduce our wonderful speakers. First, we have Daisuke Ito. Daisuke Ito is a research associate at the Asian American Community Research Institute at Center for Pan-Asian Community Services. He earned a PhD in sociology from Georgia State University in 2013. His current research includes substance abuse and health disparities in Asian American communities in Atlanta. Daisuke currently serves as a steering committee member of Georgia Asia Pacific Islander Community Coalition. We have another speaker, Kathy Vu, as Assistant Manager of the Community Health Research and Evaluation Institute at Asian Services in Action in Cleveland, Ohio. Kathy manages public health initiatives, instruments, statewide AC efforts. Ms. Vu holds an MPH degree from the Northwest Ohio Consortium for Public Health. Ms. Vu is Hmong and first generation born in the United States. Her experience has helped her shape her approach to public health advocacy in the AAPI community. Noylan Abisamis Mendoza is the Health Policy Director at the Coalition for Asian American Children and Families. In her current capacity, she leads health advocacy initiatives with CACF partners to improve language access, cultural competence, data equity, and healthcare affordability. Among these initiatives include Project Charge and the Invisible No More campaign. She received a BA from the University of California, Irvine, and an MPH from the Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health. And lastly, Andrea Caracostas is the CEO of the Asian American Health Coalition Hope Clinic, AFQHC. Dr. Caracostas has a long track record of dedication to special populations and to CHCs, including 10 years as a physician and providing technical assistance to special populations within the migrant health centers and CHCs around the country. She has also been active in the BPHC's Health Disparities Collaborative and as a member of many national healthcare advisory committees. We'll first go with Daisuke.
Hi, thank you for the introduction. The original presenter, Noshin Punjani, couldn't be here today. Her name is on the booklet, so I'm presenting on her behalf. The title of my presentation is Asian Americans with Developmental Disabilities and Their Families in Georgia. I went to some sessions, and everybody in this forum is talking about that lack of data among Asians, especially disaggregated data. And when it comes to something like this, we can expect that there's nothing there. So CPACS conducted the first community needs assessment of Asian American families with developmental disabilities and service providers. And that's the topic that I'm going to talk about. First of all, I have nothing to disclose. There's no conflict of interest. Let me first give you the presentation outline. First, let me introduce CPACS. You may want to know what we do so that you have some background knowledge. Then, let me talk about how we worked with GAPIC and Georgia Council on Developmental Disabilities, which then named the Georgia's Council of Developmental Disabilities. After that, let me talk about methods. And since this is about data and data collection, results may not be relevant, but the results are closely related to our recommendations. So I will talk about results and recommendations. And finally, I will highlight our accomplishments. Okay. So first, Center for Pan-Asian Community Services, which is CPACS for short, is a non-profit organization founded in 1980 on the belief that people need people. So if you look at the right-hand side picture, that Chinese character is a person. And the famous person saying that this two-stroke Chinese character is made up of one person sustaining the other people, which you see in there. And that's our foundation. And CPACS is the first, largest, and longest standing organization in the Southeast, focusing on issues concerning Asian Americans and other underprivileged people. Last month, we had a tea walk, Together Empowering Asians, or sometimes we call Together Empowering Asian Americans Walk. This was our 10th year of tea walk, and more than 2,500 people came out on a rainy day on Saturday, and we had a walk. So let's move on to the topic, the study. So the purpose, this study started very interestingly from a passion of one Korean-American woman. She wondered why Koreans did not use the service provided by the state or federal. So she came up to us, CPACs, and said, well, you should study. And that's how this study started. And in the purpose of this study are fourfolded. There's four purposes. One, identifying needs and barriers that prevent access to services. So what kind of, why do these people not come to get the service? And secondly, identifying needs and barriers of service providers. So there should be some kind of reasons why those service, on the service provider side, there's something that, like barrier that we cannot access. Thirdly, increasing awareness of Asian American disability needs in both the Asian American community and organizations serving the community. So not many people know about those people, so one we have to highlight. And lastly, facilitating community-led solutions. So to conduct this study, Georgia Council on Developmental Disabilities, or the Governor's Council of Developmental Disabilities, gave us a funding through their innovative grant, and CPACS was leading agency to develop the GAPIC, which is Georgia API Community Coalition, whose vision is Together in America, a partnership of hope and prosperity. So there are so many Asian organizations in Georgia, but they are more specific to their ethnic groups. And we didn't get together to work together, so CPACS led to form the group of 25 different organizations in Georgia. And to conduct this study, we developed personal relationships with GAPIC members. So this is about like 3 years or 4 years after we formulated GAPIC. So the CPAC staff used our personal connections to get to the respondents, so focus group participants. So this is the GAPIC's picture then. Let me talk about methods. We conducted five focus groups focusing on Asian Indian, Chinese, Korean, and Vietnamese caregivers. And we conducted two focus groups for Koreans. And all focus groups are done in their languages and lasted about 2 hours. We also interviewed 10 service providers, either by telephone or in person. Service providers include teachers, social workers, state and federally funded programs, support service agencies, therapists, and religious organizations. And this type of interview lasted about 25 to 45 minutes. Let me quickly go over the results. So one service provider said, we reached out to Asians that had no responses. So when we asked the questions like, so what did you do to reach Asians? This is what they said. And secondly, from the focus group, one person said, well, the program is there, but in reality, it isn't there. It does not help even if you are eligible. So there's a gap in here. And this is what you see. Asian and non-Asian providers try to use existing model programs and replicate them without properly adapting the model to the target population. So what they do is, well, they have existing program and they say, hey, we have this service, can you come? And in their eyes, that they reached out. But in the eyes of Asians, that's not reached out. It's not culturally competent, language is not available. And worst thing, which may be worse, is that, well, they might think they reached out, but they don't come. And with model minority myth, they think, oh, they are doing fine, that's why they don't come here. So the further effort to reach out may not happen. Further, the Vietnamese person said, we dream about freedom coming to the U.S., but we don't know English. We have little or nothing. So for this person, language is the barrier. But if we look at Korean and Asian Indian courts, I should continuously persistent and not give up after one try, just keep pushing. Maybe Asian modesty, they ask for some kind of assistance, but if you don't get, you just sit back. But here in the US, you have to ask for it until you get one. And then there are Asian Indian caregivers that the parents feel a lack of confidence in schools and compare their struggles to going into a cave where it's totally dark and there's no one on the other side. So Asian Indians, they can speak English pretty well, but with language fluency, they still experience some kind of barriers. So the barriers here are twofolded. One, it's language. But even if there's access in language, cultural competency is a very different thing. So based on these results, we made recommendations. There are four recommendations to policy makers, service providers, caregivers, and to the community. And here I'm going to talk about two, the policy and service providers. So first, promote comprehensive and culturally competent services, services delivery systems for people with developmental disabilities and their families. So it's not just about language, they need to learn about our cultures. And secondly, increase funds to offer different programs and services for diverse populations with developmental disabilities. So lack of funding was discussed or mentioned a lot. Translators, interpreters are expensive and they cannot afford, so they need funding. Here are the recommendations for service providers. Improve communicating with caregivers by utilizing trained interpreters and training for cultural competency. So they need training, and here what's important is training interpreters. Sometimes they simply ask, well, do you have somebody who can speak this language? But to do interpretation and translation, they need a training. It's a special skills. And build partnerships with community-based service providing agencies and or faith-based organizations. So that not the easiest way, but the efficient way to reach out this community is to find a community leader and go out. So that is very useful when you can find like faith-based organizations, especially for Koreans and Vietnamese. Finally, let me highlight the accomplishments. We tried to reach out to those like our funders and policy makers, but somewhat it was unsuccessful. They said like, we are busy, we don't have time to talk with you. So what we did was to create the white paper like this. It's just 2 pages, 3 pages. And we distributed this white paper to community members through GAPIC. We send out policy to policymakers and other people. Secondly, which doesn't happen all the time, but for this particular study, we could reach out to 4 ethnic groups. What we didn't like was the initial idea was to study Koreans only, but we decided not to do that because we put together the data about Koreans, go out and present. Service providers might think, oh, they're talking about Asians. So just to highlight that the ethnic groups under the umbrella of Asians are different, we studied four ethnic groups and highlighted the differences. And we also hosted community educational forums and events. For this forum, ethnic groups, all ethnic groups are invited. We bought like so many headsets. So we did a simultaneous translations. And Vietnamese group are talking in Vietnamese about their concerns, and Korean groups are talking and sharing their concerns. So different ethnic groups had interaction. And also with a limited number, only a limited number of people came out from the service providers, but we did also a testimony type of thing. So focus group participants talked about their concerns to the service providers face to face, and that was also successful. And finally, with this study, we could create like communities to organize support groups and programs for Asian American families with learning disabilities. So mainly through church groups, faith-based communities, they created support groups and the foundation to support these people were created. Finally, I brought some of the studies. This is just one example that CPAC did as a community-based organization to do research in our community. And I have some booklets that I brought. If you are interested, we can send more. But unfortunately, I don't have the white paper. It's been like 5 years and I don't have one. So this one I cannot give you. But if you'd like, please take anything you want there. Thank you.